grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our lesson from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at the 9th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous person runs into it and is saved. Now, it seems to me that if you're running, you are either running from something or running to something. Or maybe you are doing both at the same time, running from something and running to something. We see that in the book of Proverbs 18, verse 10. The person who writes there was fleeing from danger, from threats to their life, and they were fleeing to the Lord, their Savior and their Deliverer. And they were doing it because it was in his name. You remember when Moses asked the Lord, "What is your name?" The people of Israel are going to ask what your name is. What is it? And the Lord said, what? I am who I am. I am who I am. Now understand that that means more than just I exist. God does exist, but the existence of God doesn't do you any good one way or the other unless something else is added to that. Rather, the Lord is saying, I don't just exist, but I'm present. I'm here for you. I'm here to deliver, here to save, here to guide, here to guard, here to protect, here to provide, here to uphold, here to defend. What did our Lord Jesus say? He said, look, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. It's in his name. His name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's in his name, Jesus, which means the Lord saves, or the Lord who saves. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous person runs into it and is saved. Good thing, because in today's lesson, Elijah the prophet was most certainly running. He was running from something, and he was also running to something. He was running from Queen Jezebel, if you remember her, Queen Jezebel, who had made one of those, if it's the last thing I do, sort of promises. She said, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to see you dead, Elijah. I'm going to have you killed. And Elijah knew that she was as good as her word. And he fell apart and he ran. Now we want to be careful here not to be too hard on Elijah, because the man could say in good conscience, like St. Paul said, 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. He puts it in his own words in today's lesson. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars. They have killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah the prophet could be speaking like we speak nowadays. He says, the next generation along, they've turned from the Lord. They've actively torn down the places of worship of the Lord. They've repurposed them. They have murdered, they have canceled those who spoke for the Lord. And Elijah looks around him and he says, I'm the only one that I know who still has their trust in the Lord God. Well, all of this came about because of the repression that Queen Jezebel had instituted. She tried to get rid of the worship of the true God and promote the religion that she grew up with, which was the worship of Baal. And things finally came to a showdown, you may remember the account, on Mount Carmel, where the Lord sent fire from heaven, the true God sent fire from heaven, and the people of God, for the moment, said, "We will follow the Lord." And they put to death the prophets of Baal. And all of this has taken its toll on Elijah. I remember years back, I could count on one thing happening. Always after Easter Sunday, the next day, I would get sick. I'd hold together all throughout Lent and all those extra services and Holy Week and all the commotion going on and everybody's doing this and that and the other thing. We got to pull it all together. We get through Easter Sunday, praise the Lord, everything went well, and the next day what happens? You collapse. And the same thing happens to Elijah. All this has taken its toll on him. The Lord is victorious, but Elijah falls apart after all of this. And when Jezebel makes a threat on his life, he collapses. He runs away from her and her kingdom. He runs through and out of the kingdom of Judah. He runs out into the desert. And the Bible doesn't give us an impression that he really knows where he's going, but the good Lord knows where he's going. The good Lord knows where he's taking him. He's taking him to the mountain of God. Now, not Mount Zion in Jerusalem, but Mount Sinai, way to the south in the desert, where the Lord had first met with his people after they left Egypt under Moses. And there, if you remember, out of the midst of the fire and out of the midst of the storm, the whirlwind, and out of the midst of the earthquakes, the Lord God gave his people his word. He gave them his commands. But even more than that, he gave them his good and gracious promises. And the Lord leads Elijah back to where everything started. We have to press the clear button and go all the way back to the beginning. And it was all in God's name. Remember, his name was I Am. Doesn't just mean I exist, it means I'm present. It means I'm here for you. I will deliver, save, guide, guard, protect, provide, uphold, defend. Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. My name is Emmanuel, God with us. My name is Jesus, the Lord who saves. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous person runs into it, and they are saved. You run from that which threatens and would destroy you. You run to the Lord who alone saves. And so it is with us. Where do we run to? Well, we run from the things that threaten us, but we also run to where everything started for us. You and I run to the cross of the Lord Jesus. And it's in that place that you find the Lord's pardon. It's in that place that you find the Lord's rest. It's that place you find the Lord's cleansing. It's that place where you know you're at peace with God. Everything is as it should be. Like the scripture says, we know, Romans chapter 8, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. You know how the story ends for a child of God. And so, Romans 8, what shall we say? What shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We even sing about it in an old hymn. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. The wrecks of time. You mean like Jezebel's kingdom, which was soon to fall apart, which was soon to become a train wreck? Like all of the kingdoms that have marched across the stage of history, only to be escorted off of the stage by the good Lord? Like all of the evils in this world, the evils of sickness and decay and poverty and stress and strain and sin and death and the power of the devil, all in the end becoming train wrecks by the power of the good Lord working for his children. Now, sometimes the good Lord does that in obvious ways, obviously powerful ways. Sometimes he does it through the whirlwind. Sometimes he does it through the fire. Sometimes he does it through the earthquake. And while he does that sometimes, there's one thing that he does all the time, and that is always in another place, in a still and quiet voice, he speaks to you and me through his word. And in his word, we hear what he commands, we hear what he promises, and we know that gentle quietness that made Elijah the prophet come out of the cave where he was hiding and cover his face, because no man can see God and live. And he comes out and he wants to hear now what God the Lord will say. And after everything he's been through, after all of these kingdoms and powers and glories and all these different things, after all of it happens, the still small voice speaks to him, basically in the words of Psalm 46, "Be still. You too be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Psalm 46, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And so, Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a fortress. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous person runs into it, and they are saved. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.